committee at 6:10. We have two bills to hear tonight. HCR 12 and SB 3. I think we'll start with HCR 12. Beverly Masick, you want to come forward and present your bill? And for the record, with us is Representative Elton, Representative Moses, and Representative Osterman. We do have a quorum.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, Committees on Special Fisheries. For the record, I'm Representative Beverly Masick, and I'm here to speak on behalf of HJR 12. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I am here before you today because a vital resource is in a crisis situation. I use the term vital because there is a large economy built upon this resource, an economy which starts at the dinner table of Alaskan families and extends outward to those whose livelihood depends on a healthy resource. We can all agree there is a critical problem with king salmon in Upper Cook Inlet. We can all agree serious measures are needed to correct the problem. The sports fisher users in my district are very upset. The businesses in my district are very upset. The people who bring fish home to their families are very upset. They are upset because this happened. And they are upset because they are losing fish and an important economy. But they have all agreed to support the closures and reductions to save the resource. Mr. Chairman, this resolution is asking the board to look very closely at the crisis to determine what other measures may be necessary to build back as rapidly as possible a threatened resource. I feel it is wrong to zero one user group out and let other user groups continue to take fish needed for escapement. It is wrong to cripple one economy and let other continue to fish if they are taking Susitna-bound kings. If the board has made a mistake with management, do not make my constituents absorb all the damage. In this resolution, this committee cannot solve this crisis, but it can act so the board has sent a message to revisit the issue, to make sure everything is being done to assist that the resources can be protected, a message to not let this happen again. If over-harvest is the problem, then do not let it happen again. If intercept fisheries are the problem, do not let them continue. Finally, this resolution will hopefully help to get the governor involved in this issue. My constituents back home are feeling neglected by this administration. Imagine for a moment that these are your district businesses, livelihoods, and traditional family activities being zeroed out. Mr. Chairman, I ask this committee to assist me on behalf of the resources in bringing all parties to the table to accomplish this critical task. If the language of this drafted resolution can be better drafted to accomplish this goal, I encourage you as chairman to use your prerogative to accomplish this. I do ask in the interest of time to expedite this resolution. We must request the board to act before any more kings are taken by anyone. We can work out allocation issues after the resource is healthy again, but now we must act. We must concentrate on the resource. I am not a biologist nor an expert on any of the details. I am, however, fully committed to bring all those parties together. We must quit using outdated management plans which have little relevance to the problems we are facing today in the northern districts of the Cook Inlet. Human populations have increased dramatically in the Upper Cook Inlet over the last 10 years, and yet the board still has not developed a new management plan for making allocation decisions. It is time for us to provide a serious nudge to those who allocate our resources. It is time we explain that the legislator, not the board, has to ultimately accept the blame if the board fail. It is the legislator that confirms appointees and give the board its authority and guidelines, not the other way around. We are, whether we like it or not, where the fish buck stops. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Masick. I do have, or I have had a committee substitute prepared for this resolution. I would entertain, we do have a quorum, so I would entertain a motion to place the committee substitute before us tonight.
I move that we adopt the committee substitute to HJR 12.
HCR. Any objection? So ordered. Representative Masick, have you had a chance to read the committee substitute?
Yes, I have, Mr. Chairman.
Do you wish to speak to that now, or?
As in my previous statement, I encourage you to do what you can to help bring the issues on the table, and I support your CS.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any questions? Do we have any teleconference tonight?
White check with Sam Lake, Mr. Chair. At this time, we have no one in Cordova or the other side, or
Podia. Thank you.
And Sand Point, not Sand Lake, excuse me.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody in the audience that wishes to testify on HCR? And we do have one. You want to come forward?
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name's Jerry McCune, President of the United Fishermen of Alaska. I have a chance to read the CS, and I appreciate some of the things that was changed in it, but I still, our organization is still opposed to this resolution, and there's several reasons why. And it's not for the good of the resource. We're always for the good of the resource, and also for the problems in the Cook Inlet. And particularly one stock, you know, there's only, we're talking one or two stocks, and we're not talking all the stocks of Cook Inlet are in crisis. And we've seen a lot of presentations, habitat presentations, everybody's view and Fishing Game's view, and our policy at UFA is to try to keep the legislature and the governor out of the fish arena. This is the Board of Fish and Department of Fish and Game is issue, which a lot of these things are governed by this, Title 16, Alaska Statutes. In this book here is the guidelines for sustained yield, allocation plans, and the different uses. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's four or five different management plans on the Kenai, and there's all different stocks. So it's a complex problem, and just to deal from one segment is very hard. And I'm for the message of, yes, the department shouldn't do all they can. Users should do all they can, and the state of Alaska should do all they can to make sure that the stocks are healthy. And that's under Title 16, and that's the Department of Fish and Game's mandate, is the first thing is sustained yield. So if there's a problem in sustained yield, which we don't quite know yet, because the way I understand it is this is the first year that the stocks have declined that far on the desk of King Salmon. So we also need the tools. And this goes back to all the budget talks that we've had around the state here, and we see what's going to happen most likely to the fish and game budget here is we need these tools for weirs and index studies, not only on the Kenai, we need them around the other river systems too, but this is some of the problems that the department's been up against is enough money to institute all the programs we need to look at these different tributaries and different systems. So I would say that we're opposed on the basis that We do not think the legislature or the governor needs to be meddling in the Board of Fish or the Department of Fish and Game's Statute 16 sustained yield. Although, I think that we could put it in a way that the legislature is concerned about the stocks and the kenai, such as everybody is. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Are there any questions? Jerry? Thank you. As far as I know, that's the only person to testify on HCR 12. What is the... what would the committee like to do? Representative Elton.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I appreciate the work that has gone into the CS. I mean, I have to say that the whereases are an awful lot more palatable to me and to my perspective. But I just left the budget subcommittee on Fish and Game. And I guess the problem that I've got is the resolves. I mean, we're resolving that we're going to spend more money. We're resolving that we're going to divert time and energy from an already stressed staff support system. I mean, where does that come from? Where does that additional effort come from? I mean, I'm hearing we're going to cut. And then I pick up the paper over the weekend and I read that the Board of Fish wants to have a work group that studies interception of Chinook salmon by Kodiak commercial fishermen. I know that we've got interception problems elsewhere around the state. And frankly, I mean, what we're doing is, as a legislature, if we pass this, we're setting allocation priorities, and that bothers me. And I'm raising those points because those points have become an awful lot more important to me as I sit through the budget subcommittee for the Department of Fish and Game.
Thank you, Representative. I guess in response to that, I would have to say that I agree with you that that there is a priority problem as far as money is being allocated to Fish and Game, for example, because I think that the fish resource in this state is so vast and so great, and the benefit to this state is so vast and so great as far as that resource is concerned, that we are constantly cutting our own throat as far as the fisheries are concerned by underfunding Fish and Game and their ability to research and figure out exactly what's happening with that resource. And that's one reason, I guess, that I do favor the CS. This is more palatable than the original document because I had a little bit of a problem with that. But at the same point in time, this doesn't necessarily delve into the allocation issue, I don't think, so much as it delves into more emphasis on taking care of that important resource. And whether the governor gets involved or not, we have to, as a legislature, spend more time paying attention to it and maybe put more funds into it. My campaign to be elected and come down here was to get the budget balanced. But you don't balance a budget on the backs of the industry that pays it. So it's kind of a catch-22 in some ways. But at the same point in time, we have to take some direction and some stance on protecting and working with that resource to figure out what to do with it. And I think this is a step in the right direction myself. Representative Elton.
I appreciate that. And I think the chairman is right. I guess this is an allocation one step removed. And an example that I'll use is there is a proposal to cut the habitat division by a third, which essentially means that we're going to be sending sport fish biologists and comm fish biologists out to make determinations on what trees can be taken out of a stream set aside. There's the work group that was requested by the Board of Fish on the Kodiak Cook Inlet situation that they just had. That further reduces the amount of staff resources that can be done. And if we then add this as a priority for the department, that further cuts it. And so what we are doing one step removed is we are making an allocation decision, and we're saying that these things are things that the legislature is mandating, and because of that, we're going to have less attention paid elsewhere. And And I'm not so sure that we should be substituting the legislature's judgment on what needs to be addressed first. I mean, I'm much more comfortable leaving that in the hands of the board of fish and in the department than I am to the whims of the political winds as they may change from every 2 years here in the legislature.
Thank you. Not in the on line 10 or 11 on page 2, it says it refers to getting a long-range management plan for protection and sustainable yield of the salmon stocks in the Upper Cook Inlet. I strongly also feel that if we can solve and come up with a long-range plan of how to solve the Cook Inlet problems in salmon, we'll have set a framework probably for solving the rest of the problems of fishery in the state. So it's the crying thing that we need to do as far as an issue right now is Cook Inlet. It's the one that cries out to us as being the real heady problem that we have. And if we can solve that and set up a plan, that we could then apply it to most of the rest of the state. But
I think you can solve that one. Good luck.
Representative Moses.
I do get concerned when we accuse one or infer that somebody else is catching their fish. I first served in the legislature 30 years ago. It was a big issue between Bristol Bay and False Pass. And interestingly enough, since then, Bristol Bay has had some major runs, broke all records. So apparently it wasn't the False Pass fishery. And throughout the state, we have the same problem. Everybody's accusing their brothers of catching their fish. And I don't know if you'll ever solve it. Chicknick now, the fishermen that fished the lagoon are accusing their brothers that went outside of catching their fish are supposed to come into the lagoon. So they're fighting just, you know, within miles of one another. And where is it going to stop? And we got a major fishery at risk in southeastern Alaska where we're dealing with the lower 48 and the Canadians. That whole fishery's at risk because they're accusing us of catching their fish. So in that case, we have to take the opposite position, absolutely 180 degrees, and talk another story. So I get real concerned when we have get the legislature involved and try and solve this, some of these allocation problems of which we shouldn't even be in. Sorry for the appeal, but that's my observation.
What is the wishes of the committee?
I move the problem go away, Mr. Chair.
Wishful thinking.
Well, I'm going to have to excuse myself. I have another meeting to go to.
You guys want to hold it over then?
I think we should. I could be excused.
If there's no motion, we will hold HCR 12. Next thing on the agenda is SB 3. Representative from Senator Duncan's office.
Yes. For the record, my name is Rosemary Alexander, and I'm a staff assistant to Senator Jim Duncan. And SB 3 is an antitrust exemption for commercial fishermen. Senate Bill 3 will allow fishermen to form associations to collectively negotiate fish prices with processors. While this bill does cover collective bargaining between fishermen and a processor or a group of processors, it does not authorize processors to agree among themselves on the prices they will pay to fishermen. Senator Duncan believes that a state antitrust exemption is a first step to stabilizing Alaska's fishing industry. The exemption applies only to state antitrust laws, and it would also be necessary to gain congressional approval for a federal exemption if this were passed. He also believes that the attitude toward gaining a federal exemption may be more favorable now that we have Alaska's delegation in the majority in Washington. SB 3 also clarifies an ambiguity in state law, which does not expressly allow fishermen to market and sell their fish as a group, Current state antitrust law only permits fishermen to form associations to catch and prepare their fish for market. But as you know, federal law expressly permits fishermen to collectively engage in many more activities, including marketing their fish. So the incongruities between state law and federal law have made it possible for some of Alaska's fishermen organizations to be in compliance with federal antitrust law while they're also out of compliance with state law and vice versa. Passage of SB 3 will make state law consistent with federal law. And during previous hearings on this particular bill, we have had people, especially from Cordova District Fishermen United, testify that the inconsistency between state and federal law has become a major problem for some of their members. A state and the corresponding federal exemption were recommended in the 1993 Alaska Attorney General's report on the Bristol Bay sockeye salmon industry. Fishing industry, as you know, is Alaska's largest private employer, and it contributes to all economies, including the state's general fund. Collective bargaining between fishermen and processors will help stabilize commercial fishing prices that will bolster state and local economies, and we also believe that stable raw fish prices will promote stable consumer prices for processed seafood products. That in turn means greater sales of Alaska seafood, and certainly Representative Elton is familiar with that. Senate B3 passed the Senate without opposition on March 7th. It has a zero fiscal note, which you will see in your packet. You will also find letters of support in your packet and an additional one which came in over the weekend from Alaska Trawlers Association, which I gave to Amy to hand out before the meeting. We also have support from the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, the Department of Labor, and a similar bill was introduced last year. It passed the Senate. It got caught up in the last week of the rush of legislation in the House and never made it to the House floor, but it did have complete support from the former Hickel administration, as it does from the Knowles administration. If anyone has any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. And I think there are probably people here who would wish to testify on the particular bill.
Thank you, Rose. Any questions?
None for me.
We're in the budget season, and as you can see, there's only two of us left at the table right now, so obviously we won't be able to vote this out or take action on it tonight. We will continue. We've got a couple people here locally, and we will take testimony tonight and then reschedule it, and hopefully that we don't get bumped out by six or seven budget committees, subcommittee meetings. So we have Rick Lauber. Do you wish to testify tonight?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Rick Lauber, and I represent the Pacific Seafood Processors Association, which is a trade association that represents seafood processors that buy and process approximately 80-85% of the seafood harvested off the shores of Alaska. I have consistently testified in favor of this legislation. We have had continuing problems in fish price negotiations, and I'm not going to attempt to mislead you that this bill, standing as it does, will resolve all of those problems, but at least it will take care of some of the more, what I would consider, ridiculous situations where fish processors and fishermen could not be in the same room when someone else, for instance, is discussing fish prices. There was an incident not too many years ago where the Department of Commerce was attempting to find ways that there might be better pricing arrangements, and they had scheduled a meeting which a number of fish processors were going to attend. It was, I should say, broad-based marketing plans and so forth. However, there was one portion on there we were talking about prices, mainly if there could be a three-year price window or something in that situation where fishermen could negotiate a constant price for a number of years. And on the advice of the antitrust lawyer that represents Pacific Seafood Processors Association, all of the major processors, members of my association, declined to participate in that meeting because of that. Rather ridiculous situation, just to actually hear a presentation, even though they weren't going to be negotiating any prices. And but the passage of this legislation alone, of course, would not resolve that problem, because a major problem would still remain, and that's the federal antitrust law. But as I've repeatedly said, this would be an excellent first step. You got to start someplace. Either you got to change both the state law and the federal law in order to do what this bill would attempt to do. Let me say again what Senator Duncan has said a number of times and is very clear in the legislation, and that is that this law, if there's a corresponding law passed by the federal government, would still not allow processors to sit down and fix prices. There was a recent article by a major news service that reported on passage of this bill, I believe, in the Senate, and they implied that that was the case. And nothing can be further from the truth. There is never going to be any law in the United States that would allow price fixing on the part of, as far as that matters, fishermen or processors. Having said that, I have a somewhat embarrassing situation has arisen. I was in working with this bill last year and the and again this year, and having turned it over to attorneys to review, I apparently neglected a section of the bill that is probably not going to be the end of the world. But I am getting so much, not flack in the sense of anybody telling me that this is the end of the world, but I hate to have anyone laugh at a piece of legislation, and particularly one that I've testified in favor of. And I'm referring to, on page 2, line 12, the language for the rest of the sentence starting with 2. Minimum price that fish processors will accept for the sale of processed aquatic products. What in effect this says, that if you read 1 and 2 together, that fish processors and fishermen could talk about price paid for the fishermen for aquatic products. And that, of course, is the what we are attempting to do, to be in discussions about that. But I have not been able to find anyone, either fisherman or processor, that wants or thinks that processors and fishermen would ever agree as to the minimum price that fish processors will accept for the product when they sell the finished product. It would probably be almost an impossibility to reach such an agreement. I would compare this to a situation where the Ford Motor Company is negotiating wages with their employees, and the employees are vitally interested in wages and working conditions. But the employees, to my knowledge, have never attempted or requested to be able to dictate to the Ford Motor Company the price that they will sell each individual automobile and its various accessories on the open market, or what each individual dealer would then sell for. It just is so ludicrous that no one would ever ask to do it. But yet that is in here. I guess one can counter and say, well, if they will never do it, then what harm is done? But it is, it's beyond humorous. If this passes this way, it will make a law of the state of Alaska a kind of a ridiculous document. I discussed this with United Fishermen of Alaska, and I've asked sincerely, is there any legitimate reason for this? Is there someone that wants this for a valid purpose? And neither from UFA or anyone else has been able to tell me any valid reason, anything that this would do to help anything. And with that, if it would not be too much difficulty, and I'm certainly not trying to delay the bill in any way, but I would just respectfully request that that line be deleted, because it will serve no useful purpose in the legislation. With that, I think that I want to make it clear that we support the legislation, and hopefully we can prevail upon our federal congressional delegation to take reciprocal action, and that we can make negotiations between processors and fishermen an easier process.
Well, thank you, Mr. Lauber. If I understand you correctly, then on line 11, you would take out the one that's in parentheses, and then put it, and then on line 12, put a period after products.
Well, I guess it would look rather odd to have a one in there and no two, so I guess you take out the one and put a period after products on line 12 instead of a semicolon, delete and two, and then the rest of that sentence. Then it would allow fish processors, including fish processors acting through some association and so forth, on the price paid to fishermen for aquatic products.
Thank you, sir. Representative Elton, do you have any questions? All right, thank you, Mr. Lauber.
Thank you.
Mary?
Just by way of clarification, this particular section did come out of the Attorney General's recommendation to George Udermole, who wrote the legislation. I have talked to legal services about this, and I have an opinion from Jim Forbes, the Assistant Attorney General in the Fair Business Practices section of the Attorney General's office, and he says that Section 2 would also allow processors to agree during meetings with fishers on the price that processors will accept for processed fish from their buyers. Allowing the processors to negotiate collectively to this extent should improve their negotiating strength in the market, which should in turn improve the prices they are able to obtain for Alaskan seafood products. As it was stated to me in my telephone call when Mr. Lauber raised this question to us, this should be something that processors would keep in consideration when they negotiate this particular section. They felt that this would be something that would help level the negotiating field, the playing field, if you will, between fishermen and processors. Senator Duncan is not here, and whether or not we would want to amend this without him, I don't think would be the case. I guess I would appreciate it if you would consider talking to him about this particular section. I'm sure he would probably agree with the fishermen if they don't think that this is going to be something that's particularly necessary. But I wanted you to know the origin of this particular clause. It was recommended by the Attorney General's office.
All right, thank you. Next one to testify is Scott McAllister. You state your name, please, for the record.
Sure, you bet. My name is Scott McAllister. I'm here on behalf of Southeast Seine Boat, Seiners Association. It's an organization here in Juneau. I'm a statewide seiner, Mr. Chairman. Committee members, I find it, well, after much discussion and much actual research into this bill, which was rather steep task to accomplish in a short period of time that I had to prepare myself for the board of directors at Southeast Seiners Association, we finally decided to support this bill. And I think that this bill does potentially go a long way to level the playing field, so to speak, between the processors and the fishermen, for the very reasons that Mr. Lauber just testified, that he said that this bill could potentially have a problem for he and his constituents. Short of having this, that particular sentence, the ability to negotiate price at essentially the wholesale level or the ex-process level. Last year I wasn't very excited about this bill. It really essentially did nothing for me as a fisherman to strengthen, my negotiating position with the processor in a way that would give me any level, essentially, the playing field in price negotiations with the processor. And I don't think this gives the fishermen any kind of advantage whatsoever. Essentially, now I sell my product X vessel at a value usually to be determined later. You know, we'll, and I'm speaking of salmon here. I can't speak for the crab fishermen or the pollock fishermen of the state. But as a salmon fisherman in this state, I sell most of my product, which is pink salmon as a seiner, X vessel at, say, 15, 17 cents a pound. And then sometime come January or February or March or April, my wife and I call it pennies from heaven. We'll get 3, 5, maybe 6 or 8 cents in the mail from the processor that somehow magically this trickle down from the retail level found its way through all the stops of cash flow to X vessel. And above us, there's clearly a stop that I don't understand. The processor pays me whatever he can afford to somehow on an annual basis, X amount for my fish months after a fishing season. We've been on strike in my life 2 different times that I've been involved in the salmon fisheries. There is no leverage for a salmon fisherman to go on strike in a maturation fishery. A maturation fishery being a fishery where the fish mature to the point of harvest and you have a small window of opportunity to harvest those fish. Go on strike, the fish swim either through your fishery or you lose quality, they go up the river, you've lost your fishery. There is no leverage, there is nothing the salmon fishermen can do to really position themselves with the processor in negotiations to level this playing field. I see this particular advantage short-circuiting the usual flow of product. The fishermen, and I'm not short-circuiting, giving the fishermen the benefit of the wholesale arena where a fisherman with the processor, groups of fishermen with a processor or a group of processors could essentially sit down and have a tremendous advantage in the marketplace enjoyed by very few in a free market except for a few primary producers in the farming industries that enjoy these antitrust exemptions as well. And together, to the benefit and advantage of both, control volumes of product and be able to negotiate at the wholesale level prices to the advantage of the seafood industry as a whole. I don't think that this gives the fishermen any great advantage, and if fishermen even are get it together enough in the event of a federal antitrust exemption, if we ever reach that point, the fishermen ever, you know, actually come together to become a player at this level with the processors. But if the processors can't do it without the fishermen, and they can't do it without themselves, none of us will ever benefit. I support this bill. Our organization supports this bill in its current form. Without that particular wording, it puts us back at where we have always been. It doesn't do us any good a month before, during the salmon season, or after the salmon season, to get together with a processor or a bunch of processors to negotiate a salmon price in a fishery that we're going to lose unless we use it. It's use it or lose it. That's why we chose to support this bill, and I would have to reconsider supporting this bill without that particular wording, and I'd have to advise my group as well.
Thank you. Scott, is any questions or comments? Representative Alden?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'm maybe getting lost in the process here a little bit. I mean, the problem that I see with that section is, and I was sitting here trying to think of an example outside the sane industry, but I can't think of a good one, so I'll use the sane industry. But for example, when you've got remains of the 1993 and 1994 pack that has yet to be sold to this point, mm-hmm. It seems to me you're inducing, with the minimum price language, you're inducing additional restrictions that may be hard to live up to. Also seems to me that you, and again, this is partly my background speaking, you may be taking away a marketing capability. For example, there may be a lot of value to selling into the school lunch program at a lower price than you might get if you hold your pack later. And that advantage would be that you're creating new eaters of the product. And it seems to me that if you have the minimum price language, that you may be taking away some of those opportunities. For example, an opportunity to sell 200,000 cases into the school lunch program at less than an agreed upon minimum wholesale price. It just seems to me that mm-hmm. we're complicating it an awful lot.
Well, we could be. These are ponderables that, you know, you can't, I mean, they're all what ifs mm-hmm. in a marketplace that is forever changing, forever, you know, fluctuating. It's a very big, it has a life of its own. And pondering minimum price advantages or disadvantages, you know, into the future are things that those prices will be there regardless. What it takes to get Pink Nuggets into the school lunch program at a discount, and what that ultimately will have, how that ultimately will affect our markets, is we're going a long ways out on a limb here in a market that you and I have no idea what it will be. And I guarantee you, the can is going to be king. When we harvest under 80 million pink salmon again in this state, the can will be king. And all the value-added R&D that has gone on in the school lunch programs, the can price is going to drive pink salmon values ex-vessel to 30 cents a pound. Now, whether that 30 cents is commensurate with my volume deficit, and I am at a status quo, or I'm at a net profit or net loss in that arena, is again, another ponderable that, you know, we can't really sit here and effectively talk about. What I am concerned, or what I would like to see, is that we somehow progress. The fishermen have the ability to break into an understanding of the markets above us, somehow interact with these markets above us. And these processors are so vertically integrated into these marketplaces and have a tremendous built-in buffer for profit. That trickle-down is something that is a total mystery to us. And if it is a benefit or an advantage for the processor to have the primary producer with them at the time of price negotiation, at the point of sale, then all of a sudden we are at a point where the whole world opens up before us. We know what the price was. We can negotiate, sure, a minimum price for the school lunch program. And we can negotiate another price for another product form with the processors in another marketing arena. Unless we're there, we will never know. And we can never really have any leverage to understand this trickle down, get the processors to open their books to us and show us just where their money gets spent, building a new office, building a new ultra processor, or paying us for our fish ex vessel. This industry is so heavily overcapitalized at all levels. What it costs us to move fish from the time, from the point of harvest into the marketplace, both at the level of primary production, i.e. the commercial fishermen, and the processing, the secondary, the processing industry. No wonder the fishermen don't receive from retail to primary producer and come to terms with the processor in some meaningful form, we're always just going to be a bunch of poor fishermen with a bunch of processors up there trying to figure out how to spend more money to catch, to produce more fish.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I appreciate your testimony.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Next to testify is Dean Paddock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. It's getting late, and mercifully, I'll try to be very, very brief.
We appreciate that.
I'm Dean Paddock. I'm speaking in behalf of the members of the Bristol Bay Driftners Association, and Jerry McCune, chairman, president of United Fishermen of Alaska, because he wanted to go to a basketball game, and because I'm a member of the executive committee of the UFA, authorized me to speak in behalf of United Fishermen of Alaska as well. We urge your support for this bill. The fishermen need all the help they can get. I think that this legislation should have been introduced many, many years ago. I see it as a tool. I think that the testimony of my friend Scott demonstrates that we need this tool. This legislation should be motherhood and apple pie. I think it is. I'm sorry that some attorney somewhere saw fit to throw that clause in there. I don't think it adds a whole lot. And since this last election, we've heard the term policy wonk used quite frequently on the media. I think that's the type of thinking that produced that statement in there, because frankly, I'm concerned about being able to negotiate for a price that I receive. And I think that once I have sold my product, what the party who buys that product does with it is his business. If we have a mutual interest and concern, then I would think that this legislation does not prevent us from getting together and discussing those concerns. The deletion of the section mentioned by Mr. Lauber, in my mind, would not noticeably reduce the value or the importance of this bill or our support for it. I would not urge the legislature to pass meaningless statutes. I see it do that now and again, and I don't think that we should be doing that. Some years ago, I was involved in negotiating for a group of fishermen with a processor. I suspect that without knowing it, we were in violation of the law at that time. Incidentally, that was probably one of the best marketing arrangements that we ever had. Once again, fishermen need all the help that they can get. We have a lot more tools now than we used to have. It used to be that a lot of this information was proprietary information, and the fishermen weren't party to it. But now a lot of, most of that stuff is common knowledge. It's gathered for us by a percentage of the 1% that we pay to ASME. And I, too, do not like to be a price taker. I think you heard that loud and clear from Mr. McAllister, that fishermen have been, for many years, price takers. I don't think this necessarily gives us the ability to be by ourselves price makers. But I think that if the process goes on to its logical conclusion with some amendments in the federal laws, this at least will allow the fishermen to work together with the processors to come to a reasonable price. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, comments, committee? None. Appreciate your testimony. Thank you. Are we still without anybody in telecom?
All sites have dropped offline. Only Sandpoint was on tonight, Mr. Chair. This is the moderator calling to tell us that.
Okay, thank you very much. What is the wishes of the committee? Representative Elton.
Mr. Chair, what committee does this go to?
I believe it goes to Judiciary.
And Resources.
I would hesitate myself to change the bill without having some input from Senator Duncan. If you wish to move it on and let somebody else handle that, that's fine too. Speed the process up a little bit. Representative Elton.
Well, Mr. Chair, if it's got two more committees of referral, I would move that we pass this out with individual recommendations in the attached zero fiscal note. And I think that will allow Mr. McAllister to get back to his group to discuss the suggestion that was made by one of the people who testified, and it also gives the prime sponsor an opportunity to review the suggestion by the previous testifier. And I think that if a change needs to be made, it can be made either at Resources or Judiciary.
Thank you, Representative Elton. I did mention earlier that we were without a quorum again, but Representative Moses did return. So is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, we so move. Senate Bill 3. That's all we have before us tonight. We will adjourn the meeting at 7:04.